But I'm thankful that God woke me up this morning, aren't you? Do you ever wake up in the morning and think, is it morning already? And then sometimes you have a restless night, you say, come on, morning, I'm ready to get up. Good to have Sister Brenniger back with us. We've been missing her, haven't we, church? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glad some others have been are here this morning. We've been missing you too. Well, as you very well know, school is starting very shortly. Matter of fact, Tuesday. We need to hold our little children up to the Lord. Our teachers, our school officials, state officials, and all this. It's a very dangerous time for anybody right now. But the Bible talked about that. We talked about that just probably the last two or three sermons. Perilous times, dangerous times. You're not safe anywhere you're at. When you're at Walmart, shopping, getting your groceries, getting your school clothes, here comes this crazy guy in here with a big gun, starts shooting. Wipes out about 20 people, and I don't know how many that's injured. And it's terrible. It's awful what people get in their head. But it's the devil. We know it's the devil, right? The devil's behind it all. But the thing about it is this, church, it pays you to be ready without a shadow of a doubt that you're ready to go. That guy pulls the trigger and you're taken out that way, hey, you just get on out of here to a better home. But what about those people that are not ready? That's the thing that we're concerned about, right? It's no time to play around, folks. It's time to get down to business with God. The devil wants to wipe you and your family out. Just before I get started, I told you a week or so ago about my clerk when we were in Wisconsin, how a tornado come through and wiped our house totally out. That was 23 years ago. They had their camper set up, a fifth wheel set up, a day after she testified how good God brought her through this. Here came a big storm through and blowed tree limbs and things all over their trailer, so the devil tried to wipe them out again. But they wasn't harmed. God took care of them. So I want to tell you, folks, God is the one I want on my side. Amen. He's a winner. So I want to talk to you this morning about hell is not in control of your destiny. Would you stand this morning if you're able and feel like it? If you don't, just sit right there. Just don't go to sleep, please. If I see you asleep, I might have to come back and wake you up. Notice in the book of Esther, chapter number 9, begin with verse number 20 through 25. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same year, and the day wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, as Mordecai had written unto them, before Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of all the Jews. He devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pru, that is, the lot to consume them and destroy them. And when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that which wicked device which he devised against the Jews should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Let's pray before you're seated. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, that you have prepared a way that you can reverse these laws that have been put in place. And God, I know that you can even reverse some here in America, this abortion thing and all this. I know, God, you're able to turn this around. And we're praying, Lord, for lives to be saved and be healed and be on their way to heaven. But I'm praying this morning, God, also, that we understand better how that we must trust God regardless, because God will protect us in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Sometimes it looks like hell is in control of our life. But there's four reasons hell is not in control. I want to talk about them a little later. But four things to do to take back again if your life has spiraled out of control. I want to tell you, folks, as often as Christians, we find ourselves trying to situate things and all of this because there's a test of our Christianity, and sometimes it seems it is to the max or to the limit. We're going to look at how that hell attempts to overthrow God's people and why it's not in charge of our destiny. And how can we take back control of ourselves when we kind of get out of whack? Anybody ever get out of whack? Not a one in here, thank God. Man, a miracle has happened to the Ravenna Church of God. Sometimes I get out of whack a little bit. Amen. So hell is not in control of your destiny, even it looks like it. But let me give you a true story that I read and about some bad events that I thought could really kindly touch the way we live. And this guy says, I had a terrible last few weeks. My car broke down and it cost $1,800 to fix it. I enrolled in a grad college without a scholarship, so I'm overwhelmed. I tried to ride a bike to school, but the chain got stuck and it began to pour down the rain and I got soaked. My dad doesn't work. He plays solitary, and so my family is in constant need of money. The fast food place where I work decided not to schedule me this week. I did $250 worth of work for a lady, and she never paid me. Such disappointment. I had to mail a package today, and the only FedEx store in town shut down due to massive storms. He said, This is driving me crazy. Does that sound like you sometimes? Does it seem like sometimes that everything is just falling apart? It seems like that everything is going smooth for a while and all of a sudden it just bam, here it starts. Maybe you lost your job, the bills is piled up. And there's painful decisions you have to make. Maybe you've lost your spouse or a child. You have a husband that goes out to the bars and drinks. You have cancer and gone through a divorce or lonely or depression. Your child has gotten pregnant or committed a crime. You feel like God has quit helping you and that the devil has taken over and is trying to wipe you out. Folks, he wants to wipe you out. He wants to annihilate you off of the face of the earth. He wants to kill you. But hell is not in control. An attempt by hell to take us out sometimes. And you all know the story how that this evil guy, Haman, decided that he would wipe out the Jewish race. He got together with his family and his friends, and they cast a lot. And it was like a seance. He was asking evil spirits to forces to help him to do the right thing in his eyes, to annihilate the Jews. Instead, God made him choose the last day of the year. He wanted a day that he was going to do this. But meanwhile, God installs a Jewish queen of great beauty on the throne, and her name is Esther. And she exposed Haman's plot to the king. Even though she could have had her life taken, had the king not recognized her and welcomed her in at the particular time. There was a great charge, and she took a great chance. But yet, it could have been her life and all the Jews, or it could have been her, as she did, went to the king, and the king accepted her because he, no doubt, respected her and loved her dearly. So who let the king's people, first of all, he let this reverse. So Haman and his evil sons were hanged on the gallows he had built for Mordecai. Isn't this something, how God will reverse the curse? Isn't it amazing how God will turn things around when we feel like that everything is falling apart? Everything is just caving in. I can't take any more, God. I can't take any more. You ever feel like that? Just want to scream and yell? I have. But I'm telling you something, God will not let you down. The point is, hell thought it could overthrow the destiny of God's people, but God reversed it, just like he does for the promises of his people. You see, hell thought it had control over the destiny of God's people, but hey, if you belong to God, God is in control. So hell's not in control of your destiny. Why? Because you're God's property, not Satan. You don't belong to Satan, you belong to God. How many of us years ago, we dedicated our children to the Lord? We brought them up and somebody anointed them with oil, and we prayed a prayer of faith over them and committed their life and their well-being to the Lord. And over the years, the devil has tried to get to them and tried to destroy them and kill them. But the thing about it is, once we surrender them at a young age to the Lord is going to protect and take care of them. You say, well, he's going to protect them anyway. Well, maybe and maybe not, because I want to tell you, we have to train up that child, don't we? We need to train up that child, teach that child, and do everything we possibly can to keep our children under the ark of mercy. And I want to tell you something, folks. The devil would love to get our children while they're young and destroy them if he possibly can. But when we dedicate them to the Lord by our faith, we are saying, okay, God, you're bigger than I am. I can't handle it. You're the one that can take care of them better than I can. I don't know how to be a parent. I don't know how to protect and shield them in a lot of cases, but God, you do. So we're putting our whole trust in God, and God will take care of our family. But we must understand, folks, that we need to first dedicate our life to the Lord. You can't dedicate something that don't belong to you because you don't have access to it if you're not a child of God. Many times people will bring a child up. They'll be living out of wedlock or whatever it might be, and they'll be committing adultery and so forth, and they'll dedicate their children to the Lord. But still yet, if it hadn't been for somebody's prayers for that child other than the ones that's committing the sin, where would they be at today? It's our duty to pray for that child. It's our duty to dedicate it to the Lord. It may not be by the faith of the parents. It may be the faith of the grandparent or great-grandparent or whoever it might be, or just for the church. But it's our duty to pray the prayer of faith for that child and ask God to protect it. Can you say amen? So now, you're God's property. You're not owned by the devil. He bought us with a price, did he not? So if God bought us with a price, we need to honor God with our body and with our spirit. We are God's. Can you say amen? We're not God's ourselves, but we belong to God like the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, right? So you don't belong to the devil, you belong to God, and he is trying to trespass because he don't have access to you. He's just trying to break through the barrier, break through that ark of mercy or that circle. He's trying that protection that God has for us. He has guardian angels watching over us. And I'll tell you what, some people overwork their angels, I believe. Don't you believe it? And sometimes I think I'm one of them. Hey, but God is still good. But see, God is a jealous God. And he guards over us. He fights for us because we're his property. And God has a plan for our life. Notice in Jeremiah 29 and 11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God is working to get us to the end. Here's the key, folks. When we are born, we don't know how many days we have here on earth. But what days we have, we need to use them very, very wisely. People abuse themselves. They do all kinds of things that they shouldn't do. And all of this. But I want to tell you, we need to belong to God. Our soul, our body, our spirit, we need to belong to God regardless, because God is a jealous God. He don't want us to have no other gods before him. We're kind of like, we get messed up sometimes. But still yet, there's always another thing that God can do. Look at the potter. He's making something out of the clay. He's working real hard on the spinning wheel. All of a sudden, it don't look right. All of a sudden, it comes up, it's ugly. It comes up, and it's not what he really intended. So what does he do? He whacks it again. He pushes it back down. He balls it up, and then he starts all over again. Folks, when the devil knocks you down, and we've talking about this, you may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. You just have to wait sometimes to the ninth count, as we talked about last week. But the thing I want you to understand is, God is not finished with you yet. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He made the moon and the stars and all the rest of it, right? Isn't it great what God made? Hey, he is wonderful, and he's made us. So the thing we need to understand is we may be a little mired sometimes. We may be getting a little trouble. God just kind of whacks us down and starts all over again. But we're winners, we're not losers. Folks, I want you to get this in your head right now. We Christians are not losers. We're winners. What are we going to win? We're going to win a home in heaven, for one thing. And I want to tell you something, folks. That home is looking better all the time. Can you say amen? We can look around us and see all this chaos taking place and all this fussing and feuding and fighting and arguing and all this danger stuff around. But the thing we need to understand is, hey, we're not losers, we're winners, and we're going to come out ahead because God is going to take care of us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, for greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. We know that. You see, in Adam, we were born to loser. Adam sold us out, folks, and we were a bunch of losers. Just plain and simple, a bunch of losers. But in Christ, we were born a winner. I don't want to be a loser, do you? Nobody wants to lose, do we? We want to win, and this is exactly what we're going to do as long as we trust God and believe in God, because he's going to take good care of us. In Isaiah 55 and 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." His word, folks, it's wonderful and it's great, is it not? So Apostle Paul once said, "For who's able to resist his will?" It's a good point, isn't it? Who in the world is going to be able to resist God's will in our life? We need to wake up, folks, and realize how good God is. It doesn't matter how bad hell fights you. And when I say hell, I'm referring to the devil, because that's his home, his future home. He hadn't made it there yet, but that's his home. You see, God made two places. He made a heaven, but he also made another place because they didn't need a hell. There was no reason a hell should ever be. But the devil tried to overthrow God, and so God had to create another place called hell. And he didn't create it for us, no way, folks. He created it for the devil and the fallen angels. He created it for these evil spirits that is trying their best to bring us down. But there's coming a time, hey, they're going to be cast down forever and ever. And I'm so thankful and glad that that devil is doomed, and he don't want to admit it, but he is doomed. He's in trouble. So how can we take back control when the devil's trying to hinder us and stop us from everything that we start to do? I want to tell you, anytime there's good, evil is present. Anytime you're doing good, evil is present. Can you say amen? Anytime we're doing something good for God, there's evil present. The devil don't want you to do it. So anytime you're doing good, your victory of what the devil is trying to do. First of all, we need to get right with God. You can't live a half Christian life and expect God to move because he's not obligated. God is chastising us for some sin or disobedience. He chastises us. He chastises them he loves, don't he? Amen. For victory, the first thing is we need to eliminate any problem or anything that's broke the relationship with us and God. And then we need to perform full obedience to God. We've got to be obedient to God, folks. How in the world do you expect to get anything from God if you won't even obey what he asks you to do? So sometimes it's not a sin that's a problem, but it's fully obeying God, and God won't bless us until we fully surrender and obey him. How can God bless us if we won't surrender? How in the world can God bless us if we're not willing to obey him to the fullest? If God tells us to stand up and praise him, I'm not praising you today. You didn't do nothing for me this week. I've had a hard week. Where were you at, God? Were you up there asleep somewhere? Or you took a fire journey or whatever? I'm not standing up and praising you and worshiping you. You've not been very good to me this week. I would be afraid to say something like that, wouldn't you? Man alive, he's been too good to me for me to stand up and say something like that. Like a parent who's waiting for their child to pick up their clothes off the floor before they move to the next point. I'm not picking them up. Okay, you're not picking your clothes up. You're not doing anything else until the clothes is picked up and put in the hamper. I'm still not doing it. There's a way of persuading kids to do things. If nothing else, take their iPhone. Woo, that's bad stuff. But you can't move forward with God until you start obeying him. So when that child won't pick up their clothes off the floor, it's time that we do something about it, right? Here's something a little humorous. A middle-aged woman was driving through a school zone when a policeman pulled her over for speeding. And he was giving her a ticket, and she said, "How come I always get a ticket and everybody else is getting a warning? Is it my face?" He said, "No, ma'am," explained the officer, "it's your foot." It wasn't her face. It was her big foot. Some of the men and I were talking about how easy it is to speed, weren't we, men? It's very easy to speed. And the first thing we do when we see a cop, what do? We look down at our speed limit, right? Look at our speedometer. Where's it at? If we're going 10 miles over, we try to drop it back at least 5. I do. I'm honest. Confession is good. We need to be careful. It is so easy to get ourselves in trouble, not intending to get ourselves in trouble. And then there's interceding. We need to intercede. We need to fast and pray sometime. James said, "You have not because you ask not." That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Have not because you ask not. But then we can also look, and sometimes we ask to miss. Sometimes we ask to miss because really what we're asking we don't need. And God knows that, so we ask to miss. We ask it because we desire it on our lust or whatever it might be. So we need to understand how good God is to us, and He watches over us. So it's simple. At times, God wants us to ask, seek, and to knock. He wants us to continue. So how bad do we want what we want from God? Are you sincere? And well, God, if you don't get it, I'll go on buy it anyway. Bless God. You're not blessing God. You're slapping God in the face and not waiting on Him, right? I'm going to get it anyway. I work, I save my money, or I spend my money. It's my credit card. If I want to max it out, it's nobody's business. Well, you wait till you get that big bill in and all that high interest, and you'll think, "Oh, God, I'm sorry, God. I should have listened to you to start with." We need to pray and seek God before we do a lot of things. Can you say amen to that? So we need to seek the Lord with increasing intensity until we touch God and know that He's heard us. Many great people in the Scripture reveal the answer from God because of fasting and prayer. Sometimes you just need to try it, do we not? Spiritual warfare against the enemy. Here's another thing, folks, we got to fight. If you think this is a bed of roses, if you think serving God is just everything is going smooth and you'll never have a battle, well, you need to open your eyes and open your ears, because you will face battles. Anytime there's good, as I said, evil is present. Anytime you're serving God to the fullest and the evil is present, He's trying some way to trip you up, trying to get you discouraged, get you to where you're not praying as often or reading the Word of God, getting you because you're discouraged. And He's saying, "Hey, you can't make it anyway. Hell is your destiny and you can't make it. I'll see to that." Well, He don't have the authority to say that, because we do know that God is the one that we're serving, and He can't handle us anyway, because God is behind us all. So we need to fast and pray. We can bind and loose them, can't we? The Bible tells us that in Matthew. And we can cast out the enemy in the name of Jesus. That's found in Mark, excuse me. And we can plead the blood of Jesus, or the blood of Christ in Revelation. It talks about that. And then we can ask God to loose His warring angels against the enemy. And it talks about that in Matthew. Now I want you to notice something, folks. There is battles that we can't handle. You have to have help. Did you ever see somebody think they're so macho and things, they leave mom and dad and they'll go their own presumptuous way and they'll think, "I can handle this. I'm a big person. I can do it. I want to tell you something. You can do it, all right, but you can get yourself in a lot of hot water if you're not careful, get yourself in trouble. But sometime we have to call for reinforcements, because we've went as far as we can go. Our load is so heavy, we have to learn to lay it over on Christ. Give it to Him, because He cares for us. He'll carry our burdens and He'll help us through all kinds of situations. But we have to understand, hey, we can't carry it. We've got to hand it to the Lord. "I can't handle this anymore, Lord. I can't take anymore." And just hand it over to Him and He'll take care of it. Then there's times you have to pray and say, "God, send these warring angels to protect my house, my property, whatever it might be. To protect whatever it is that I need protection from." Whatever it is, you're in a hot battle and you need some reinforcements. You need some help. You say, well, angels is always there. Yeah, there's guardian angels watches over us. But there's also warring angels. Do you know that? There's angels that God has trained, and they're warring angels. They'll fight for you, and they'll come, and they'll take care of the enemy, and but we have to ask God sometimes, hey, God, send these warring angels. There's Michael, the archangel, right? I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes angels can be the best friend that we have other than God. And God, we need to pray and understand, hey, we can't call angels. Some people try to command angels to do this. Angel, you do this. Angels, you do that. Angels, you do this. We don't have the authority to command angels to do anything. We pray and God can command them to do whatever we ask. Whatever we ask and believe, God can take care of it. But hey, we don't have authority over the angels. But God will take care of us, and he'll send these warring angels, and he'll fight our battles for us, because I want to tell you, folks, the devil is not big enough to whip all of these angels. Now, how in the world, if you think about this just a minute, Lucifer himself, he was in heaven, and he gained all of this power and all this influence, and he gained a third of the angels in heaven. He had a lot of influence, did he not? He still got a lot of influence. He tries his very best to trick us and trap us in any way he can. With all of that, not only did he get kicked out of heaven, the third of the angels got kicked out. All right, who kicked Satan out? And the angels, who kicked him out? You say, God did. Well, God did, because God was the power behind it, no doubt. But I guarantee you, these warring angels brought him over to the edge and said, kicked him right out of heaven. And here he begins to fall. He probably thought, what happened to me? That's what happens to a lot of people. They wonder when they turn their back on God and then they get in trouble. They say, well, what happened to me? Well, I want to tell you what happened to you. You just backed away and turned your back on God, and then you're wondering why that God is not there to protect you and shield you and take good care of you. We're serving a good God, folks. He loves us, and he wants to take care of us. We need to stand up on the Word and claim our blessings. Woo-wee. Isn't that something? If somebody gives you a paycheck, you worked all week, and they give you a paycheck, that paycheck is nothing more than a piece of paper that something's been scribbled upon. Until you take that check and you get it cashed. And then you have something in your hand besides a piece of paper. You have money, right? Well, this is the way we are. God has all these blessings for us. He has them in store. These blessings belong to us. He's promised us these blessings. If we walk upright before him, he will bless us, and he'll do this, and he'll do that, and he'll take care of us, and he'll protect us and shield us, and he'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. He'll go with us, folks, and he'll be there with us at all times. But if we say, if we lay that Bible down, we never pick it up, and we never read what it says, and we don't know the promises of God, how in the world are we going to ask God for something we don't know that we already had? There's promises in there. They're yea and amen. They're ours just for asking. God has them, but he wants us to ask. It's just like he has healing for us, but he wants us to ask. He has prosperity for us, and sometimes he just wants us to ask. But some people think, well, I don't think I ought to prosper because I'm just a little old poor Christian. No, you're richer than the richest person in the entire world. You know why? They may have a lot of money, but you got a lot of something else. You got an eternal life in heaven. You got your riches is they're just stored up in heaven, and God is going to take care of us. Hey, you say, well, we just barely scrubbed by. I want to tell you something, folks. Hey, God knows how to take care of us. It don't matter if you had $10 million, if you had $10. Hey, you are just as good a child of God as anybody else. Why? Because God is going to bless you. See, he's going to supply your need. The one thing we need to understand is, hey, we don't need to lay up all this stuff here on earth. Hey, it's going to fade away. It's going to canker away. We need to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor corruption or anything like that can do anything with it. We can do all the things we want to with what we have here on earth. We can hoard it all up and so forth, and we all try to have this and that and something else. But the thing we need to understand is, are we laying up treasures in heaven? Because this is going to be the great and wonderful place that all these things is going to help us from. God is good, is he not? I'm about finished, so don't get worried. We're getting out so fast anymore. We beat the Baptists out of them. We beat the Baptists to Michaels anymore. Now, I'm just kidding. I love every Baptist person. Don't you get me wrong what I'm saying. I love them all. Praise God. They're going to heaven just like I am. We're striving. We're working. Undoubtedly, though, there may be some of you here today are wondering, hey, what is God's plan for my life? What is God's plan and future for my life? For my life, right here on earth. Come to the music, please. What is it? What is this all about? First of all, are you ready to accept the plan, the new plan for your life? You see, when we start out, God brings us into his realm, but he has plans for us. And he can't send you out there until he gets you trained. Sometimes this training is kind of rough. Sometimes there's things that we face we don't quite understand in all of this. But still yet, God is training us. He's getting us ready, because hell does not have anything to do with our destiny, because, hey, that place is not for us anyway. But there's a lot of people going to follow the devil and wind up right down there burning and screaming and crying, and people down there gnashing on them with their teeth and all of this. Whew. You see these vampire movies, how these vampires have these teeth that come out and they'll bite somebody on the neck and all of this. Well, I want to tell you something. There'll be some ugly people down there in hell, and they'll be biting on you. You think a vampire looks bad, you just wait till you get down there. It's going to be terrible and awful, because they're going to be in so much pain, screaming and crying and begging to get out, but there's no way out. There's only one door, and it goes in, and there's no back door. Hell is not in control of your destiny. Think about these four things as closing. Four things to take back. First of all, if you've messed up, you need to get right with God. You need to ask God for forgiveness. You need to ask God for help. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Second is, we need to fast and pray. There's some things that praying is just not all that we really need. We need to put some fast in there also. And in our spiritual warfare, we need to understand that, folks, we're in battles, and we're going to battle right on to the end. And then we need to claim our promises. Whatever God's promised you, it's going to come to pass. God gave me a promise one time, and I'm sticking to it to the day I die. And so far, he hadn't let me down, and I know that he won't. I'm trusting and believing that he'll take care of it unto the end. What is it? Well, I'm not telling you. It's between me and God, right? I don't mean that to sound rude, but some things you don't just blab out. But anyway, hey, if you're a Christian, it's kind of like you have a generator inside. How long's it been since that generator's been turned on? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in your life. How long has it been since you turned and allowed the Holy Spirit to generate the Spirit of God through you? You need to turn it on. You need to refill yourself with the Spirit of God, right? Let's stand this morning, if you would. If you've been having a hard time, and the devil thinks he's got you right where he wants you, you say, well, I do my best for the Lord, but do you really do your best? Do you really put everything in it that you possibly can to serve God? You see, it's going to be bad when that time comes and there'll be some people that'll come up marching up there, and all of a sudden he'll look at them and say, "Depart from me. I don't know you." In other words, I don't see the blood applied to your life. And then there'll be another come up maybe, and he'll say, "They think they've made it on good works. They've been good to people and all of this." Good works won't take you to heaven, folks. That's just something that Christian people need to automatically do. He'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." I don't want him to say that to me. I want him to say, "Come on in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been ruler over a few things, and now I'm going to make you ruler over many." That's what I want him to say. He'll say it, folks, if we live the life. He will say it for us. Live your best. Do your best. Time's running out, folks. It's running out so fast. Don't be so unconcerned with everything else. Don't try to leave God out of it, because, hey, listen, He's all we can depend on. He's promised us a home in heaven if we'll just serve Him. Oh, how I desire to see that home sometimes. The altar's open this morning. If you just need to come and pray. You may say, "But I'm a Christian, I'm saved." That's well and good. But how about the family members? How about the people in your household? How about the people that even though you're saved and on your way to heaven, what about those that you need to be praying for in all of this? Come on, the altar's open. Let's pray. Come on. Come on, praise God.